Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to encourage you. We're going to tell you what we perceive as God's perspective of what's going on, what is going on. And doing that with me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining me this morning to help encourage you, to help inform you of what's taking place, is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Give a shout out this morning to Atlanta. Hello, Jawanza. Give a shout out also this morning to James in Houston. We are excited about our audience. It's just expanding. The virtual stadium is being filled. Come on in. Take a seat. Be encouraged. Know what's going on and be empowered to do something about it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour is John Ramos.
Good morning.
And Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Here we are. We're right here. I mean, I'm just like, ooh, you feel it? It's like, oh, my goodness.
I feel it. Oh, my goodness. Has it started?
Man, this is what the Lord's been laying on my heart about. You know, history, we like to think that history is something that happened in the past, that it's not a prophetic word about the future. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how could that happen? That's the history. I mean, men don't want to rule the world anymore. You know, men are not. They're not wanting to rule the world. I mean, come on. I mean, why would anybody want? I mean, those are huge ambitions.
No, right? Julius Caesar's no more, right?
Exactly. I mean, that. Think about it. I mean, think about that. Remember Caesar when we're talking about what we're talking about. You know, and you look at Hitler and Mussolini and Woodrow Wilson. You know, President Woodrow Wilson went to war because he wanted to have big government. And that because of the war that was taking place at the time, the World's War, they were so busy fighting war, they quit buying all of our products. And you couldn't fund the government. And so he got involved. He said he wouldn't be involved, but then he got involved because the funding process, you know, our gross national product, our ability to tax our products that are going overseas and then to pay tax on it, we were losing our customers. So it was a money-driven war, Woodrow Wilson. And by the way, he's the one that came up with the League of Nations, which eventually became the United Nations.
Thank you, Woodrow. Thank you.
And he said, you know, you can find out about Woodrow on the VFN Torture in your highlights right there. I believe it's an original tense, but just type in Woodrow. And it was very interesting. He was a professor at a university.
He was really?
He was a professor at a university. And people who had an agenda came and interviewed him because he was such a good speaker. Woodrow Wilson, President
good
Woodrow
speeches.
Wilson. He was such a good speaker when he taught his class. When he taught his class, his students, you know, if you've been to university, this never happens. His students would stand up and applaud him when he finished. And so he had, at that point, based on history, he had no political ambitions. People came to him and said, listen, this man can speak and get people's attention. Let's go see how he feels about the progressive mindsets that we have. And so they went and interviewed him, and they said, you know, he kind of relates to this. And so then... they ran him for office in New Jersey, by the way, and he became the governor of New Jersey. But once he got in, the people didn't realize, oh, my goodness. Well, he's supporting what we're doing, but he also has his own agenda.
Right.
And he basically put him in their place. But,
yeah,
he continued on with the progressive movement. And there's just so much that you can hear that about it. Yeah, but so here we are, you know, 100 years later. And, you know, you heard a statement at one time that said, you know, Islam has a 100-year plan to be able to turn America into an Islamic nation, you know, meaning that the Quran is our law versus the Constitution, our law. And when you think about it, from Woodrow's administration to now, I think the 100 years is up.
Wow.
The 100 years is up. And so what you're seeing is, and what President Woodrow Wilson thought and taught in the United Nations, or the League of Nations, was, that they said no to until World War II happened. And then they said, listen, we got to pull up Woodrow's idea. We have World War II here. Let's go ahead. And they kicked right in immediately and started the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, they tied our economies together. So if you tie the economies together, we would never go to war, because for one nation to fight another nation is to affect your bottom line. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they thought tying our money together, thank you, Woodrow, because he wanted big government instead of just having this, whatever God gave us, let's just be happy with it, and let's don't sell out for more money and bigger government.
Right. Small, imagine that.
God,
more money.
It was a God, being government and God. And so now here we are, you know, almost 100 years later, a little over 100 years later, maybe I can't remember the exact numbers. Mm-hmm. And the United Nations, when you look at their flag, when you said Caesar, you're looking at the crown of on the flag. You're looking at the very
The what do you call that? The leaf thing?
The leaf thing over the head the Olympians would wear or whatever, but it was for Caesar would wear about ruling the world, you know, with the Roman Empire. And it's interesting that the Roman Empire, when you look at end times prophecy, that it's gonna come from, you know, Rome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so here we are right now where CNBC, which is basically a
left.
Yeah, I guess you could call them left. It's kind of a branch of the government. And we were going to buy a microwave.
Is that the correspondence? Is that the correspondence department?
Dude, we're buying a microwave. Don and I are buying a microwave, and we saw this microwave, and it had a lot of different buttons on it or whatever. And I thought, this is what I want. And it was made by GE, who owns NBC and MSNBC. And
General Electric, right?
Yeah, General Electric. And so I thought, and I said, well, that's fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. But then I looked at the buttons, and there was a button on the microwave that said it was a government button.
A government button?
There was
a
government button on the... I'm telling you, maybe if Donna's listening, you can text me what that button said. I can't remember if it said food.gov or mill.gov or something like that. I'm like, oh my goodness! You're going to know when I eat popcorn! I was just so upset. I'm thinking like, man! It was like mill or food.gov or something like that. I don't know. And so, you know,
it's just weird.
Yeah. With that, I'm like, well, I'll just take the cheesy one. I don't want that one.
Yeah. For
and real. So I'm out of town or whatever. And I come back and they came and put the microwave in, and they put that bug in my, they put that government microwave in my home. They installed it.
Wow.
Mm. I'm like, sorry, I'm not gonna have I am not gonna pass a food.gov button every day, you know, where I heat up a cup of coffee or something, and I think you push it and it tells you how to eat or something. I don't know. I mean, it just didn't. But it was like a merger between a corporation and a government. This intertwining that's really strange between General Electric and the government. But their General Electric's products now have a government agency attached to it, a button. Mm. Of course, I told him, can you come rip this thing out of my house and put in the cheesy one? But really did it. I mean, that's how, you know, big government and, you know, government knows better versus if you don't have a relationship with God, you know, saying God knows better makes no sense to you. If we say, listen, you know, God knows the answer, and you think, I don't even know God, well, that's why it doesn't make sense to you.
Sure.
Or if you're a Christian who's never been discipled and never taught that you're supposed to know the shepherd's voice and you're supposed to be able to let him lead you in your life, and somebody's just, you basically ate another man's groceries.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to somebody else talk about their relationship with God, but you've never had one yourself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to you. You're used to following somebody else, and so when the government tells you, we'll help you how to eat, we'll help you these different things, you just naturally have a tendency to say, well, that sounds pretty good.
Sure.
But when you understand that, no, that's God's role in our life, what we're really saying is, if we do say that, is government's going to replace God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the argument. That was the argument with Israel. You can go to VFNTV right now, vfntv.com, and watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. That's been around. That's been the argument. You know, can the government provide better for us? And this is when we talked about this yesterday. I'm not going to talk much about it, but as soon as that lady walked up in that American gathering in North Carolina and leaned over to the chairman, the LA mayor, after the second time of saying no to God, and says, you got to give them what they want, she prophesied to them. That's exactly what was said to Samuel when Israel said, listen, we want a king like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want socialism like everybody else wants socialism. Mm-hmm. And behind socialism is always communism. It's about government knows better, and we will ration things out. And you just got to hear you know more about that from yesterday. But so then you say that about Caesar, because right now we say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. This is what they're wanting to hear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the world.
Oh, yeah. That's what they want to hear.
And MSNBC or whatever they are, CNBC, they had a program about President Clinton. They called him the president of the world.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, listen, this is not about the 5.2% of the population of the world. This is not about this is America. America's 5.2% of the population of the world. This is this is about running the world. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's enough computer technology today. There's enough where they're talking the QE3 stimulus package, where that means basically printing more money, putting it out there. They're talking about doing it digitally. Well, if you go back and look at the prophetic warnings on your at the VFN torch, you can see that's God showed me a vision of that, where the paper money was being sucked off the face of the earth and it turned into a fire and it burned up. Well, how often do we use cash today? I mean, how often?
That's right.
And so it probably, you know, they could be easily switch over. It was during the hurricanes and all. And so their goal is this. Well, listen, prophetically, it's going to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, we always wish it wasn't our generation. And I'm not saying, I'm thinking that if we repent and turn back to God as a church, that God would let us have America back. Mm-hmm. We reestablish our founding fathers' principles. We live by the Constitution. We honor God in our institutions. And the family becomes the core part of a country again. And marriage is what God calls marriage again. And we begin to rid our land. And the Fourth Amendment begins to protect us from a lot of different things, but also digitally having some way to protect our papers and stuff from all the vulnerability that's taking place in the digital sphere in the world. And so their goal is the world. And so I was talking about this, you know, and brace yourself, you know, yesterday, about Hurricane Ivan and, you know, how rough it was and how we went through that, but they forgot about us. We were like the poster child at first, you know, come help us. But as soon as Katrina hit a few moments later, you know, in New Orleans, they totally forgot about us. And everybody, you know, ran to Louisiana and left Florida.
Sure.
And so that's what's going to be happening, is that this will happen, then that'll happen. And you may have attention for a little bit, but there's something else about to happen that you're not going to have that. So you're going to be left to yourself and to your gods. Who's your God?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so Katrina comes, and Katrina means
cleansing,
purity. And so we have five hurricanes. They come, and Katrina is huge. Cleansing, this whole Katrina comes, and the word is out. It's spread across the land. Hey, that means cleansing and purity. And that was a warning for all of us. That was not a New Orleans issue. You know, they said, Jesus, these towers that fell on these people, was it because they were evil? Mm-hmm. And Jesus responds to them, unless you repent.
Unless you repent.
Yeah, you're gonna go to hell. And so I was like, no, I'm talking about the people in New Orleans.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the towers in New York. And he's like, no, those towers were a sign to us that life is not forever. Mm-hmm. The Katrina and the 9/11 was a sign to us, you know, that God could pull his hands off of us and the enemy can come in like a flood. And so now the enemy can come in like a flood. That's very important, because if you go back and look at the prophetic warnings that you'll see over and over again, if you go to VFN TV and watch God Does Speak, you'll hear this whole prophetic conversation from ministers around the United States talking on this conference call about what God is being saying as we're piecing these parts together. And what does he speak? Well, I mean, as soon as Isaac began to form, the Lord spoke to me that, you know, Isaac, the very word Isaac means laughter. in Proverbs chapter 1, and you can see this, and make sure there's a related link to this, you know, bracing yourself, is Isaac, a warning shot fired over the bow of America. And think about America as a ship. And it was a warning shot, which means nothing was going to happen. It was just a warning of what was going to take place. And then it looks like it's going to hit all those same places that all those hurricanes hit for those five, because everybody prepared for it.
Yeah.
And then finally it goes and hovers over New Orleans for a long extended period of time and just began to flood it and flood it and flood it. And it just stayed there. And if you think about it, we replace the word Katrina with purity, right? Purifying. And you can replace the name Isaac with laughter. You know, because we didn't purify ourselves and cleanse our hands and turn to God, then he says in Proverbs 1, I will laugh at your disaster. And he says, as we talked about, you know, is in Isaiah, that the enemy will come in like a flood. And this is God's using the Assyrians, as he talks about, as a club against his own people. It's like people got, you know, when you get in the word, you're going to find out most of the stuff people are telling you about God's not true. And you understand that he loves you so much. When you're loved by that much by God, it's a jealous love. And, you know, jealous love, I learned in law enforcement, it's so dangerous that the very one that has a jealous form of love can kill the very one that they love out of a rage of anger. They're so hurt. They're so deeply hurt. And they didn't mean to kill the person, but they were so jealous over their love and they did something wrong with somebody else and then they kill them. Well, God loves you with a jealous love. And so if you look back in history, many times the earth split and things came and people who God loves, their life left them during that transition. And I'm saying that for this, because before that happened, when I said that the Lord laid on my heart, this is a warning shot fired across the board. Which means a warning shot means we can repent and we can turn.
Sure.
And as soon as I said that, there was a shooting that took place at the Empire State Building. And it was friendly fire mostly. It was one person going to shoot somebody, and then
the police officers.
Yeah, the police officers who never used their gun in duty. We have so many people who, you know, we've been so blessed. You have people that do 20-year careers, 30 years of career in law enforcement, never had to use their gun once. But you have other nations who use it at least once a week because it's so rowdy and so wild.
Sure.
Which means if you don't have that kind of skill. You know what I'm saying? You don't have that kind of skill that they just start to shoot. You don't shoot in a crowd. You don't stand in a circle, put the suspect in the middle and start shooting at him. You know, it's like you're going to shoot the other officers. And they shot that most of the people that got hurt and it got hurt by the officers, you know, crossfire and friendly fire.
Sure.
And so understanding that as soon as this word came to me, the Lord spoke to me that this is a warning shot. Simultaneously, a few moments later, the shooting's taking place at the Empire State Building. Understand that America is an empire. That's what they're called. They're called empires. And so the Empire State Building, this warning shot, right? Gunshot. And then what happens? An actual shooting takes place at the Empire State Building. And so then the laughter comes all the way up Florida, and it looks like it's going to hit all the same places, you know, Isaac. Then it hovers, laughter hovers over purity. And he says in Proverbs 1 that I'll laugh at your destruction because you wouldn't listen to me, because you wouldn't let me make myself known to you, because you wouldn't listen to my instruction. You wouldn't respond to my rebuke. He says, I'm going to laugh at your disaster. And this happens where it's like, and I'm hearing, you know, I hear ministers, you know, respond back to me. You know, they're kind of like just sarcastical, and you know, and everything that I've been saying over the years has come to pass, you know. And I don't want it to be. I mean, I really, you know, would like just to go to the Super Bowl and watch the Saints game, and we just all serve God, you know, and live a life and have Bibles in school again, and call things wrong that's wrong. Anyway, so but listen to this. Y'all got to hear this. That Katrina, Katrina, which is purity, right? Came in and was horrific. We got scars on our hearts today. We were down there helping out. It was just horrific because we went from Ivan scars to Katrina scars.
Sure.
And then 7 years to the day. Think about it. 7 years to the day, the purity hit, laughter hits and hovers and hovers and stays and stays and stays and stays. Because the truth is, Katrina really didn't hit New Orleans, it hit Waveland and Mississippi and all that. But it flooded their water containment systems, and they were bad, their levees, and it flooded everything.
Right.
Mississippi's the one that got hit and has been ignored by what's happened there. Remember, it was just flat.
Yeah.
You know, it was flattened out. Gulfport, Waveland, all those different areas, and the levees broke over there. And so now they actually have over them, the last thing you would need to know is more water coming, and it's just hovering over there. And it's a warning shot going, hey, listen,
let me try this again.
And the sad thing about it, you know, when you talked about, you know, George Barna's recent study that only 3% of the church is concerned about the condition of their heart with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 3% are actually interested in their own spiritual development.
And it's interesting, too, that it's only 3%, according to also George Barna's study, that give God his tithes and offerings.
Right.
But didn't he say where your treasure is?
Your heart will be.
So they're tied together, right?
It's a heart issue.
Always a heart issue. It's totally a heart issue. And so we're looking at right now, as I was saying earlier, and make sure this is connected to brace yourself, because this is I wanted to be able to talk 7 years to the day that laughter came. And as soon as God gave me that word, it was made available on the VFN torch, and then as it was up, the shooting took place. The shots were fired at the Empire State Building. And then Isaac, laughter just kind of covers all the same areas that all these hurricanes were hitting that year, and then it hovers over.
Yeah, it stops, literally, right?
It stops, you know, and I was talking to Jesus about it, who lives right there in Gretna. I mean, right across the Mississippi River, you can see New Orleans from his upstairs place there, and he's saying the same thing about, you know, nobody understands what's going on. It's just like no man really sees, understands. God is shouting, shouting to us, you know, in our situation, but now he's going to begin to shout to us in our pain.
That's right.
You know, and so we talked about yesterday, and I want to continue to tell you to brace yourself. Just this morning, we'll talk more about that. You're starting to hear things that we've been talking about for quite some time. And this is not about storing up a little food and a little water. You got to store up some wisdom. There's some things you're going to need to do to be able to survive. We cannot think about America the way it has been. But understand this, that if we walk this thing out right, even though it may be tough for a while, that if we turn our hearts to God and begin to do what's right, and we can walk this thing out, and maybe the Lord will let us keep our country. You know, the original word was we'd have to fight for it the way our founding fathers fought for it in the beginning, which I just can't, you know, it's going to take a lot of mindset changing for people that are willing to stand up and, first of all, read the Constitution. What a concept, you know, read it. You need to have a little booklet with you, you know, and when you hear about National Rifle Association, you know, that's the NRA. That's the Second Amendment. That's what they're representing. They're not representing guns or anything. They're representing the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Sure. It's your Constitution that this country's made up of our decisions and what we do. And you have a right to protect yourself and a right to defend yourself and to right to bear and possess arms. And what's about to happen, I mean, the first thing they're going to want to do is to take away our constitutional rights, bring in things like martial law, you know, and flip a switch.
And the things that people don't think that could actually happen, but we actually saw it happen during the hurricane. We experienced that. There's nothing like a National Guard person standing there with an assault weapon. Saying,
every one of them had guns, didn't they?
Go home.
Go home. It's like,
go home.
No gas. Who cares? You're like, I'm going to have a guess to get back. You know? I mean, we were like a military convoy trying to head to this one gas station. But they all had guns. They all had the assault rifles. You had all the military vehicles. Because martial law is this. Because the Constitution says the military cannot be over anybody in America. It cannot use its force in America unless the president declares martial law. And even President George Washington declared martial law sometimes. Mm-hmm. So properly used, it's an important thing. Mm-hmm. But also it can be wrongly used.
Sure.
And what that means is basically all of our constitutional rights are suspended at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so they can do anything if they feel like you're a looter, that's somebody who's like breaking into something, they can shoot you on the spot. Versus when there is no martial law, then they have to arrest you and take you before court and try you before your peers and your jury and then wait for the answer back. But in martial law, they just go pop. You know,
and it's dark with no lights in the hurricane.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You know, by the way, just give you a little tips up. And so, prudent preparation. Prudent preparation is on VFN TV. You can watch it. And it just begins to get you to start thinking outside the box of what you need to think like. You need to begin to just broaden your horizons of our present spoiled environment and understand, you know, if everything's shut off. I mean, go out to your house. Go out to your house or your apartment, whatever. Not your apartment. I don't know. It depends. If your house, if you own it. And flip your breaker. Just flip the big breaker on your house. And go for about 2 or 3 days and just watch your kids squirm, watch your relationships be challenged, and just kind of feel what that feels like. And now imagine if every breaker was flipped for a period of time in your city and your nation. And understand that the cyber attack type things is they'll have to shut down the power grid to be able to prevent it from viruses hitting it. They'll have to shut down. You can stop a virus from moving through the system if you shut down the system. So if they can say, hey, you know, we're thinking that there's a huge virus about to hit, and that's the first thing, that's their biggest concern right now. That's their concern, not ours, but that's the biggest concern.
Right.
Is this, so they shut down all the internet.
Sure.
You know, and there's so many people like, you know, that, you know, the reason why they give televisions to prisoners is to help them forget they're in jail.
Hello.
You know, and if you get rid of your television, you might find out you're in jail. Well, there's a lot of people that are in bondage right now, but they don't know it because they have some sort of apparatus. Maybe it's an iPad. Maybe it's an Android phone. Maybe it's an iPhone. But it's not. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is commercial. See the commercial with this little girl, this young daughter or whatever. And she's looking at her parents' Facebook. And she's got like all these quote friends to her Facebook, and she looks at her parents' Facebook and she goes, oh man, these guys, bless their heart, they only have like 20 friends. Mm-hmm. And so she finds herself giving them a friend, helping them out, and then they flash to her parents, and her parents are like in the mountains riding mountain bikes and looking at the things and just having this wonderful time, right?
Yeah.
And then they flash back to her and she's watching some video of some kitten doing some tricks. He goes, oh, look at this kitten video. It's like, you know, it's like two different worlds. But there's a lot of the population that's just what they're at. But you have to understand, people are going to be upset if they didn't know they were in jail. They're going to be upset if they find out that I've been locked up and I don't know. And there's going to be, you know, people that have a vengeance on their mind and anger and rage. And rage stands for raw anger going everywhere. And they're going to be upset. And the blame factor and the expectation factor. I thought you were going to take care of me. And that's what Isaiah talks about. He says, then you're going to roam the land and you're going to begin to look up at and curse God. And you're going to curse your king, which is your government. And then you're going to go and people are going to begin to rob and steal and do all this kind of stuff. I mean, all these different things are about to happen to America. Unless the church repents.
Right.
It's not a political answer, folks. It is not a America is a byproduct. The United States of America is a byproduct of Christians who sought to worship God freely. And if you have not yet seen, and you can find about this on the VFN Torch, you know, Monumental, you know, seeing the movie, you can see the trailer on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and it's Monumental. That will just change your paradigm of understanding. It wasn't about, you know, burying a piece of fish and a corn seed to be able to grow corn and having turkey with the Indians. You know, it was a desperate desire to be able to come to America to just worship God.
Yeah, we talked about it on the torch too. You can see it on the torch.
Well, make sure you do that. We'll be right back. Yeah, I think about that. Promise keepers. When Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Listen, John, I am totally committed. I have planned out an entire fitness exercise program. I'm really going to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Next year, I am going to start this thing. You know, I said that last year, but next year I can visualize, getting to the place, you know, where Pat is. You know what I'm saying? I could get to that place. You know what I'm saying?
That is a lofty dream of yours.
Yeah, it's a lofty dream.
High.
At least half the size. You know what I'm saying? At least half the size. But, but I do have a goal next year. Next year, I'm telling you, I'm actually going to move everything off of the treadmill and look at the equipment and pray for the divine encounter.
Best of luck to you.
All right. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're with us in the extra hour. And joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. Pat, we've totally got them convinced that you are some Herculean type. When they really see you, they're going to be going like,
yeah, really?
You're paying?
Seriously?
They're going to think like, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's got like an 8-inch waist. He's got all this stuff going on.
All those biceps and triceps. And
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Is that what that is on the floor? I was wondering what that was on the floor. You know, we're just playing around everything. He's not in good shape.
Oh, wow.
They're just laughing in the studio. They're laughing in the studio right now. So that was good. That was really good. I just don't want to build anybody's,
expectations
up. And all of a sudden, you know, when we show up in Birmingham, they're going to be going like, where's Matt at? That is Matt.
Arnold, where is he?
Yeah. He did. Okay. All right. What's up?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the top three.
Oh,
top
yes.
three on the VFN Torch. Well, number one, we love sharing these, is don't talk about it, be about it. This was an awesome, awesome segment where, you know, it was shared that basically during Paul's time that although Paul preached, there were so many that were interested in philosophizing and talking basically about
philosophizing.
Was there
a tournament for that?
Philosophizing. Come on.
Okay, I got it. I know. It's right. You're right. I'm just
all right. Make sure
I understand. I know.
Well, they couldn't wait. Y'all couldn't wait.
You're right. He was just egging me on. I wasn't.
Receipts.
He was just egging me on. I wouldn't, you know.
All right. He was egging you on. Stop being an in. I'll tell you. It's bad.
That's been instigator.
Well, they were philosophizing, talking about it, but they weren't interested in doing with anything that they heard. And, you know, many today are talking about everything that's happening in the news media. They're talking about every situation. And a lot of believers are just listening and talking and talking and talking. But it's time to actually do and act with everything that the Lord has been sharing with us, especially if you've been listening to BFN Radio. You've been hearing amazing truth, and you've been hearing prophetic warnings, and you've been hearing what God has been sharing, but it's not until we actually take time to abide. It's not time until we take time to listen to God's voice and take everything in that the Lord is sharing with us and take action that we're actually doing something. So we need to not talk about it, but we need to be all about it. So that's so encouraging, and I'm so glad that that's being listed. Also, too, the second one coming up is Redigging the Wells. I know that this weekend, Redigging the Wells, September 15th, but there was an amazing interview between Greg and Paul Davison of Overflow Ministries, and basically, you know, it was very encouraging that Paul invited you to come up. I mean, it was very significant. And it was interesting in this interview, you'll hear that he invited you because of what happened at United Prayer event that occurred in the city, which was really awesome. I mean, I was there. I remember my wife and I listening to this segment again. And while we were listening to this segment, we looked back and said, oh, my goodness, one of our children that was 12 was actually, he was strapped in a baby thing, in a baby holder at that time. But everything happens full circle. Nothing's ever forgotten before God. And God saw that. Paul saw that and knew that this day was going to be in mind. But what happened was that, you know, Greg, you were led to repent on behalf of the nation for the racial profiling that's been taking place.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And it was just amazing because it was very significant. It was with Pastor Willie Williams, an African-American minister in the city. And just the presence of God just came in. I mean, we actually have video of this on the torch. You can see this, and you can see just where there's a total shifting in the atmosphere. And really, it's just, I mean, people just crying out. It was very, very significant.
Remember that the very same day, and you can hear about it, what you're talking about there, is that Dr. King's son was on the mall the very same day.
Yep.
You know, coming against racial profiling in our nation. I had no idea. When I left there, I'm listening to the news, like, oh my God, I'm pulling away from the Civic Center. You know, we all packed in there to do that. And I was thinking, God, this is what's so cool about God. And it should terrify you if you're a person that's not just. Hmm. But if you're a person that has experienced injustice, that it's been unjust for you, that God cares about that.
That's right.
And he's so just. I thought, that's just, you're so beautiful, God, that you are. It may take a little time, but he will balance the scale. And I believe that time is mercy for us to go, you know, that if we were unjust to somebody, that we can make things right with them.
Sure.
And we can go to the cross and make things right with God so that that doesn't happen. But he will balance his scales.
That's so true. Just hang on and wait for God. Don't take justice in your own hands. God has a way.
Yeah.
Believe me, God has a way of making things right. So that event is going to be taking place September 15th. I know that you're excited about going, and we're looking forward.
Yes, this is Saturday. So you want to meet us out there, we're going to be there Saturday, marching from 6th Avenue Baptist Church, where the bombing took place, because as soon as Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech on the Washington Mall, when everybody's hopes were up, you know, the enemy came in immediately through the KKK and all that and brought a bomb in the 6th Avenue Baptist Church and killed these little girls that was in Sunday school and blew the church up. And everything just, at that day, they declared that the whales of justice have been corked.
Stopped up, right?
Yeah, and they said the word corked at that point, and it kind of spread through the entire nation at that point. Well, we're going to go this weekend asking God to unplug the wells of justice. We're going to march, dude. We're going to march
that
straight
awesome.
From 6th Avenue Baptist Church to, we're going to meet in Legion Field. We're not meeting there, but you can go to Redigging the Wells or go to VFN Torch. You see all the details on the VFN Torch there. And it's just cool. Hopefully we're going to be able to bring you some video and all what's taking place there. And the prayer goes all the way to midnight.
Oh, wow.
All the way to midnight. So we'll be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 4 a.m., you know, going, Pat, wake up. We gotta
go. Make sure you bring Pat some coffee. And you know he likes that foo-foo. So pack a little bag. You know he likes that.
I know. That he likes,
like, you know,
the foo-foo, referring to his creams and his coffee.
Yeah, I'll say something for you, John.
And he likes warm water. So if anybody has any warm water. And those who want to meet us out there, you know, come to Birmingham.
Yes.
And go to VFN Torch and find out the details on it, or Redigging the Wells. But if you can't find it, Redigging the Wells, just go to VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and type in Redigging the Wells. And all the details are there, and it can, or lead you to there. And I'm just excited about being a part of it.
That's so awesome. Actually, perfect transition to our third highlight, which is We Need Heroes. And that's really what we're talking about. We need heroes. Heroes are not made. In this segment, we find out that they just happen. And today, there's such a lack today of heroes. And we revere all the heroes in the past because they actually saw something, an injustice, something that was happening, and they were willing to stand in the gap. They were willing to do something. lest they do nothing, right? They were willing to stand up and just be a hero. And so heroes are men and women who see danger, injustice, and they make a personal choice to get in harm's way, or they do what they have to do basically to rescue those that are being trapped. And so it's a tremendous challenge for us to stop looking for heroes and to be a hero. And I just want you guys to know, and I want to be your fan radio, you and Pat are my heroes.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
I mean that. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, wow. I'm touched.
You should be. You're my hero.
Pause and think. Oh, my goodness. And a hero is this, doing what you got to do at the time you have to do it.
That's right.
To make sure that we do what God's called us to do. It could be rescuing a house is on fire. You see it at the time. You didn't think you were going to go into a burning house, but all of a sudden you saw there was a little child in that house, and you became instantly the situation demanded of you what was in you that you didn't know about. And because you responded to it, you became a hero. You got to hear that segment. Listen,
you got to hear it.
Everybody's talking about where is this leader at? And it's like, the leader's you.
That's right.
The leader's you. Somebody, you know, where's the Billy Grahams? You are the Billy Grahams.
Yeah.
You know, where are these political leaders who love God and country? You know, that's you. I mean,
that's right.
It's you. Mm-hmm. And in some point you're going to have to raise up, or somebody, the vacuum will be filled by those who are not heroes who love God.
That's right.
Wow. That's good, man. I'm honored. I'm totally honored.
You should be.
I am. I really am.
No, I really am.
Today's word of wisdom. Today is the 12th of the month. And the 12th of the month is, we always look at that proverb for chapter 12. And today's proverb is Proverbs 12. And chapter 12 reads, "He who works his land."
Mm-hmm.
He who works his land. We got to get this. He who works his land will have abundant food. Think about it. He who works his land will have abundant food. But he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. I mean, think about that. Mm. He who works his land will have abundant food. It's Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. This is the most fantasy-chasing culture.
No, that's right.
You know, the American culture now. I don't know, just speaking for America. You know, fantasy is defined as an imagination, especially when extravagant and unrestrained.
Mm.
The form of mental images, especially wondrous, strange fantasies, mental hallucinations, you know, the music, the media, everything's about, you know, chasing the fantasy of the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. People, you see what they said. They don't care. They'll just do anything to chase this fantasy for 5 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's something driven inside of so many people that are chasing this fantasy. But the problem with the end of a fantasy, a hallucination, you know, if you're in this dry desert, you know, and you've been going for a long time and you're wanting to see some water, and all of a sudden you see a hallucination of this lake, and you're looking at this lake in front of you, and it seems several miles out, and so you're walking, trying to get to it, you're thirsty, and you're focused on this lake of water.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to where you thought the water was, you find out that it was a fantasy. It was a hallucination. You're still in the desert.
Right.
A facade.
A facade or a facade. A friend of ours. Facade. And so with that, you know, that at the end of every fantasy is not a pot of gold at the end of this thing. The end of it is more of where you, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's a hallucination. It's a fantasy. You know, the god Dagon, the false god Dagon that was worshipped, they said that it actually, it moved through fantasy.
Hmm.
And Dagon was the god that they had in the temple that, you know, all this crazy stuff happened to it. And it's the false gods of the pagans. Mm-hmm. And so, he says, but those who works his land will have abundant food. There is something missing in today's culture about hard work. And it's like, it's just something that's like, I just want it just to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing that just happens is death and taxes, you know,
<Yes.
laughs> you know what I'm saying? It just, you know, life, death, and taxes, you know, I mean, it just happens, you know, and what happens in between those times is what you're going to choose to do with that. You know, James calls it a vapor. He tells us, listen, even though it seems difficult for you when you're working hard, if you're trusting God when you're working hard and not trusting your hard work, but trusting God in the midst of your hard work, and you know if you're doing that, if you're actually honoring God with your increase. But he who works his land will have abundant food. You can have confidence in knowing that your provision. Now, fantasy is like, well, I know I'm going to have food, presidents used to get in office by promising a chicken in every pot. And today people say, well, is that going to be like barbecue chicken? Or is it going to be hot wings? Is it going to be, you know.
You got sauce with that.
Fried chicken.
You got sauce in. It's going to be fried chicken. Is it going to be, baked chicken because I'm concerned about my weight. You know, there's different kind of things. And it's like. People were just grateful to have a chicken in a pot.
That's right.
And today there's a fantasy that says, you know, you should have your choice of every form of chicken, every form of pizza, every form of whatever, you know, and that's just a fantasy because you're going to have to do the groundwork to have what the past generations have had. If you don't do what the past generations did, which is honor God and work hard, you know, and you got to look at a story on the VFN Torch about buying the image of hard work. It's one of our biggest hit stories because they're digging jeans out of wells and out of mines that people wore, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years, maybe 80 years ago, 100 years ago. And they're studying the bends and the creases in them to see, I guess this little crease at the back of his knee means he must have bent down, you know, and this rubbed area on the inside of his knee area must have been where he was riding his horse. And then they take a brand new pair of jeans and they take briar brushes and they scratch them out to make them look like these pair of jeans. And somebody paid $100,000+ for the pair of old denim jeans they found out there in this old mine.
Wow.
It's like, why not put on a new pair of jeans and go to work?
Yeah,
and sell your jeans for $150,000. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Put on your jeans, work hard, and when you take them off, don't wash them. Just go give them to somebody, and they may pay you. They're paying $400 or $500 for those things.
Wow!
Think about it. This is a great job opportunity. You know, go buy a $20-$30 pair of jeans and go get a job. You know, get a rough job so that you get abrasion on your jeans. And, you know, maybe carrying bricks, you know, having to get on your knees and do some bricklaying or get on your knees and do some shingles on top of roofs. And, I mean, be merciless with your jeans.
Installing carpet.
That's kind of, you know, soft. You got something that's got to bump the jean, you know, and you got to, you know, I don't know, have your coworkers drag you around the parking lot. I don't know. But when you finish, you know, you're going to get paid an hourly wage for that. But also take your pants off and sell them to somebody for $400 and go buy another $20 pair of jeans. You think about it. Buy another $20 pair of jeans and go to work tomorrow and do the same thing.
That's an enterprise. Look at that.
What he's saying, listen, if we will work, he says, he who works his land, and that means work at your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ephesians 6 says, you know, submit to your boss and work hard as if unto the Lord. Not when your boss is looking at you. Just do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job. Work hard. And you're going to be taken care of. And while you're in this culture, just wear jeans. wear jeans. And don't wash them or nothing. Just take them and sell them to the person who's not working hard so they can buy them and put them on to convince people that they do work hard. Isn't that crazy? That's like
fantasy.
You think
fantasy.
I believe that? Listen, you got a $400 pair of, you know, cut up jeans that you imitate. Like, what are you? Why not just work hard?
Yeah.
Mm. Why not just work hard? Isn't that crazy?
Mm.
That is so crazy. So, yeah, I just wanted to be able to do this, to be able to help out people in third world nations. Listen, just you know, put on a pair of regular jeans, work hard, and send somebody that $400 that you were going to pay for those jeans.
That's
send
right.
that to the third world nation, and they can buy food for an entire year mm-hmm. for that family. Ah, oh, it's just something else.
Mm.
You know, just like last week, we talked about consider the ant. We had fun with that. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard.
Yeah.
Sluggard.
I was listening to that yesterday, Pat, and I was just rolling in the car all
funny.
By myself. I was just rolling.
People don't think we laugh at ourselves. We were laughing all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, you sluggard, consider the ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores up provisions in its summers. And you think about it, it's like, man, look at the ant. I mean, the ant doesn't even have a boss. It doesn't have a supervisor. And yet the ant is all about, you know, get her done, man. Get the job done. And that's so good. But the sluggard, and we had to look it up. I mean, we had even no idea what a sluggard was. It's a person who's inactive, a person that could be lazy and non-moving, idle.
Oh, my goodness. And, you think there's any sluggards in...
Oh,
in the world today.
Yeah, right. Spinning, you know, idling, a whole lot of gas running, but not going, no movement, no going nowhere, you know. But it's just like a little sleep, a little slumber, and a folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief.
Right.
And scarcity like an armed man.
Scarcity. Like scarcity.
He had a defragging moment.
I had to watch out, you guys. I have to see. This is.
He had a defragging moment in his head. You were like,
did you hear it?
Look, you know.
Scarcity.
Well, you know, I do want to say, you know, we're coming to the end of the extra hour today. That I'm hoping, you know, by God's grace, that I can be up there with you guys, you know, soon. And
come
I'm
on.
So ready. I can't wait to see Eddie because he's been doing this insanity. I'm sure he's down to like 2 pounds or something.
He's got to be like a zero waist.
Zero.
Like, just wait till you see him. Wait till you see
him. And you know he's working it hard. You know, at our gathering where he was dancing and doing the... Wasn't that funny? The guy? What was the guy's
name? Oh, my gosh. Lecrae.
No,
the guy he did.
No. Oh, yeah, he did Lecrae. He did Lecrae. But I'm talking about the other guy he was imitating. Oh, I can't forget this.
Oh, he wasn't imitating
Moses?
Him. He was,
Oh, he was doing his own thing.
That was his own thing.
Oh, that was good. That was good. You know, Jeremy Lin, Lecrae, is one of his favorite artists he listens to before he goes and plays with the Houston Rockets, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, have a blessed day. Don't forget that today, in about 30 minutes, the 24/7 loop begins. And tomorrow we will see you at 9 a.m. Central Time, 24/7, encouraging you to walk in the light of God's truth. God bless and have a wonderful day.